Hello, everybody, and welcome to the UK radio show with Gwen and me, Kevin Smith. I'd like to begin by talking a little about dreams. For anyone who may perchance be coming across this information for the first time, it's well worth my mentioning what the deal is with dreams, the emphasis that is placed upon dreaming. It is a fundamental part of the process of becoming more aware. Through the new you song, the connection is made to the real universes, and the guides can step in and assist an individual with removing tap lines that bind them to this very limited place in creation. The new you singing also opens up the dream arena to a far greater degree than ever can be experienced without it. Everyone will always have dreams, whether they can recollect them or not. It depends on the individual. Often, a person will be so very literal and one-dimensional, the moment the eyes pop open in the morning, the mechanical literal brain kicks in, and very little memory of dreams may seep through. When we dream, we leave the physical and automatically are on at least the next level, which would be the astral, the seat of the emotions. We can, in fact, travel anywhere all over creation, and this is certainly facilitated with the new you song, but absent of it, the dreams may well be of a far more limited nature. But nonetheless, life is always showing us things in our dreams, if we accept the dreams as something significant or not. Many will simply dismiss dreams as nothing of importance. And yet, endless accounts abound of individuals receiving prophetic dreams, and dreams so vibrantly real they would shake even a doubtful Thomas to the very roots of their being. Also, an individual can be so adamant as to want to stay in creation and play with all the little intents they create for themselves as to block the invaluable learnings and information life is constantly providing us. So dreams are in fact demonstrations and experiences, the main purpose of which is to assist in the development of the awareness. And with the enhancement that the new you song adds, the dreams become far more vivid. The guides build entire scenes and worlds for the purposes of a theme or an idea to take root. They can take an individual all over creation. Experiences in all the life levels for the sole purpose of awareness and the recognition of the is. Through comparisons and references, to perceive what is real. The real universe is one must see what it is not. Intent is very important too, attitude and perseverance, and in fact, this can be reflected in the nature of the dreams. Sometimes dream recollection can be difficult, though certain techniques can be brought to bear, the problem being that the moment one awakes, the focus is snapped into the physical vehicle. The mental body engaged and emotions soon follow, muddying the waters of recollection and placing a filter over the real awareness. I find myself that it is a good exercise on waking to not engage the mind as best as one is able. This will assist in dream recall. Writing dreams down is essential. Even if you may remember the dream with remarkable clarity, you will be astonished at how much extra detail you remember once the pen hits the paper. Also, it is likely the most vivid dream, and often the only one remembered, would be the one had just prior to waking. Writing it down then can trigger the memory of the dream just prior to that, and possibly the entire chain or a very large proportion of all the dreams had from the moment head hits the pillow can float into the mind. It is very likely too that whatever one is thinking or doing just before sleep will feature in a dream also, particularly a very powerfully visual movie. It's well worth considering what you were doing before bedtime if dream memory is lacking. You can be assured also that themes, people, and situations that are usual in your week-to-week routines will at some point have featured in a dream. So run through a mental checklist of friends, family, workplace, and regular haunts. I used to be a lucid dream practitioner, and I had fair success. What I took from that would be the dream recall techniques. It's well worth grabbing a lucid dream book, if only for the exercises suggested to boost dream recall. The author I found to be best in this regard is an individual called Charlie Morley. He has written several books. The best technique is to simply write down all your dreams, and even if you remember not one thing, then to write that, or even the vague impressions you had. You are training the biological vehicle that is your body brain to recall dreams, as up until now, it's likely a person would be dismissing dreams as an irrelevance before discovering they are an absolute fountain of experience and absolute gold. One technique was to, during your day, to ask the question constantly if I am dreaming, then run a test. It was suggested to flick a light switch. In physical creation, flicking a light switch would have the inevitable consequence. However, in a dream, anything might occur. The agreed upon laws of physics of physical creation will not apply on the real side, the dream arena. Eventually, with persistence, you will start doing this exercise in your dream. This will in fact very likely trigger a lucid dream, as the realization that you are dreaming becomes apparent, but will also assist, I found, in dream recall, as you are paying more attention to your dream rather than just drift through it. Being focused in the now during the day, if practiced enough, will become more likely in the dream too. Most people spend the day thinking and feeling, the emotional, astral, and mental vehicles in overdrive. With those placed aside, one will be then in a state of their real awareness too, and coupled with a focus on every moment and what is occurring in the world around them is the best state to maintain. Insights more likely to occur, and it's the best possible state of being to deal with any situation. Also, in regards to dreams, being in that state, the dreams may drift back to you even hours after awakening, and even if the dream was thought forgotten. In fact, dreams can drift back years later, even dreams from childhood, suggesting the real you is taking advantage of the state of being aware an individual is practicing, and taking the opportunity to bring in dreams of significance, even if they are years old, because how many dreams have been forgotten or dismissed that were crucial as a demonstration for a next step towards the is? Interestingly, diet and toxicity in theory shouldn't have a huge bearing on dream recall, as anything in creation that is disharmonious to the body vehicle can only affect the vehicles in creation, and cannot affect the real awareness. Having said that, if dream recall is enhanced by not having focus too much with the mental emotional body, toxicity can demand focus to these vehicles if problems arise as a result. My mother, for example, Gwen, she takes medication for a condition. She was taking it before bed and always was dismayed at a lack of dream recall. On one occasion, she took it during the afternoon, so the effects would be diminished somewhat by night time, and lo and behold, she had some dreams. With a little experimentation, she has confirmed this is so, and drew the conclusion that it's very conceivable that if the controllers are aware of the dangers of dream recollection, in the sense that the slaves may learn of the real universes, and through dreaming begin the process of reaching for them, then it's feasible that the fact the medications and pharmaceuticals have possible dream restricting properties is no accident. The medication is body destroying besides, and it is recommended to avoid all types of medication where practically possible, besides which agreement with the medication as a benefit will result in tap lines. and even more anchorage that will keep an individual in creation. Gwen took the risk to alter her medication consumption time, and it paid off. So it's worth looking at all the toxic stuff consumed and determining patterns and correlations between consumption of foods and dream recall. My diet isn't the healthiest in the world. I love my pizzas and genetically modified Cokes, but I try to eat healthily from Monday to Friday, so predominantly my diet is relatively healthy. Then at the weekends I may sneak in a pizza and a Coke. Because restriction can lead to distortion, and nothing is negated in creation, we just consciously become the effects of it. That being said, it's best to find what works. Were I to get sick, I would modify my eating as I have done so over the years, and besides, it hasn't limited my dream experiences or my recall of them, although one may argue that should I eat healthier still, I might have more dream recall. The fact that the dreams are occurring regardless of diet is a given, but certainly the recall aspect of it might be hindered through diet. But with diet having nothing to do with the real awareness, when one becomes aware and stands in that state with the whole of life and the guides, it's unlikely a sneaky Coke will upset dream adventures. It's interesting too how that which occurs in dreams can affect us on the physical. The most extreme example would be, I imagine, that portrayed in the movie A Nightmare on Elm Street, where in that movie you could die in your dreams, and as a result, die on the physical. Although extreme, I'm sure this is possible, although with the protections of the guides and the New You song, it's less likely. In fact, during my out-of-body experiences, as an example, I practiced these before I came across the new presentation. I still occasionally do them, but less so, as real side dream experiences are far more valid and invaluable as a learning tool. During one out-of-body experience, I was nearly seized by a winged dragon who wanted to add me to his collection of enslaved combatants who were made to fight for its entertainment. I just wonder, were I successfully captured, maybe I would not have been able to return to my body and be in a coma to this day. My focus then in my astral body and trapped on that level of life. Once I found myself in a kind of hellish realm, fire and brimstones, nightmarish creatures and individuals. I was the recipient of their torturous whims. I was set upon by vampiric-like beasties with needle-sharp teeth, and I awoke with the feeling still of them biting into me. But not ending there, I experienced, as I lay there, my heart slowing and slowing some more. I could feel it slowing down. I was paralysed, and I imagine the body does shut down in a state of paralysis when the heart slows in this way. My heart, in fact, stopped. Then, tentatively, it began to beat again, and I was back. I can honestly say that, in this experience, I nearly died as a direct result of the vampire creatures. That was an experience I had before I found the new presentation. So yes, I would suggest it is very conceivable that one could die as a result of a dream. Maybe that's why some people inexplicably die in their sleep. The new sound does afford good protection, and I have used it, in fact, to get me out of some dicey situations. I've encountered a number of twisted and dubious individuals on the real side, and some hair-raising situations that only the singing of the New You song had saved me from. The singing of it also very effective for dispelling unwanted and evil folks from my presence. Some even have followed me through to the physical, but were sent back from whence they came with the New You sound. So it is a handy tool to keep all these scaries at bay. Cancers and illnesses of this nature also occur on the astral level through tap lining as a result of agreements to various reptilian orientated distortions here on the physical. I've seen tap lines myself, generally invisible to the physical self, but not so on the real side, and occasionally on waking too. particularly if one remains in a state between wake and sleep. In this state, I've perceived myself being attacked a few times by writhing masses of tentacle-like taplines. Sometimes in dreams, taplines can be represented by things like webbings or snares or creeping vines. But on other occasions, they are in your face, very apparent. Very alarming, I'd imagine, to someone who did not know about taplines or what they were. And I even had a dream lately where I was offered a pizza. I had attempted to sneak into a reptilian hive, been discovered, got into a brawl, and then presented with a Goodwill pizza, which I perhaps foolishly ate. The reptilians know my weakness. It is pizza. Anyway, they were honest enough to tell me it was a poisoned pizza, but only after I had eaten it. We have all kinds of abilities on the other levels of life, some quite surprising, and they come quite naturally, almost automatic. On this occasion, I had the ability to extract the distorted, disharmonious energy the pizza represented from myself, but I awoke too soon and felt sick and dizzy all morning. It wore off, thankfully, but makes you ponder. How many times have we woken up feeling rough? And the cause could well be something of this nature. Either reptilians are bad cooks, they have stronger constitutions, or they delight in poisoning and taplining and infecting us all. All three, I would suggest. So yes, sing the new you song 15 minutes or so before bed, then the same on waking, and whenever else takes your fancy, in your head even, if preferred. So, moving on. There is fairly commonly the subject of loneliness that is raised in relation to the journey, the process of recognizing and perceiving the is. It is certainly understandable. The more the process unfolds and all the steps required to get there seemingly is less people at each step. As individuals will generally go to a point where it is safe and comfortable for the little self, emotional astral gratification, the vast majority would remain at step one, literalized masses who while away the hours watching TV, drinking beer and seeking the next thrill. Sounds like somebody I know.
Not me.
So loneliness at this stage certainly wouldn't be an issue. Then the next steps tend to be along the religious spiritual lines. Not so many people to be found here, but enough that isolation doesn't come to bear. Until such specialised avenues of exploration are investigated where far less dare to tread. People are collectively orientated, to say the least. Wishing to conform and not wanting to be the oddball in the crowd, lest social status be affected. And with every activity, opinion and action broadcasted across social media for all to see, everyone is under scrutiny from the collective that is humanity. And we certainly police each other. Everyone is kept in line through ridicule, condemnation, and ultimately the risk of being ostracised from whatever group they affiliate with. If they step beyond the boundaries and dictates established by said group. To the extent now that to step beyond certain boundaries of agreed behaviour can result in extreme repercussions, and as we are seeing now, with people speaking beyond the bounds of acceptability, as outlined by the authorities, imprisonment. For daring to even suggest that the events at Christchurch were possibly crisis actors, as an example, 14 years imprisonment is the result. But the lonely thing is just as potent for the personal self. And finally, should an individual come across the new presentation, this may well be the ultimate expression of non-conformity, as it is far too real for most. And understandably, most will not make their interest in the presentation known for the risk of ridicule. Those that do will be in quite possibly the smallest group on the planet, as it takes quite the journey to be prepared to even reach the point where someone can begin the process of recognising the is and their real intent. When an individual is ready and their karma isn't too vast to be unmanageable, the guides will approach them on the real side, and then the individual is primed to find the new presentation on the physical level. But always there is free will, and even though ready and prepped by a guide, an individual may decline the wondrous opportunity. With me, my process was that whenever I found what I believed to be the ultimate path, way, or whatever, it wouldn't be long before I'd have a nagging feeling to search anew, and lo and behold, I'd find something I considered superior. A succession of steps, then, uniquely catering for what I needed to eventually find the new presentation. Everyone would undoubtedly have their own story to tell, in exactly what triggered each decision to embrace a teaching or path and then to move on, with the intuitive contention that there was something more. I'm not... The not fitting in with others, that seems part of the process, is just something we must go through and is experienced by all. And this is the literal self, the little physical part. It's a view according to the personal self and not a real view. With a recognition of the is, and that you are a true being of light, none of these things, attitudes and concerns about loneliness and fitting in would apply, because just like the sun, one would be complete. The isness is a completeness, and we are all in it, all of life, everyone and the guides, so by that reckoning, there could not be loneliness once this state is attained. Without the complete recognition, the mind will struggle with it, will try and figure it out. But the is cannot be figured out or considered with the mind. The vehicles in creation haven't got the facility to recognize the is, and to attempt to do so would be an exercise in futility. You would just confuse yourself. You can't figure it out. You must see and recognize it. Seeing and being. Interestingly, passing through creation and reaching the deep dark border, the separation between creation and the real universes, the deep dark border can be reached without the assistance of the guides and the presentation, as people can and do conquer the mind and emotions to find this void. Mystics and meditators, as an example, do find what they would term nirvana, a nothingness. So, in a way, that would indeed be a lonely place. Out of creation, but not in the real universes, where you would be a free being, a real light, beyond cause and effect creation, but in a voidy nothingness of nothing. That would be rather dull, and certainly a lonely place. So it's simply a process, and lonely feelings along the way are a part of it, and should not lead one to be discouraged. Paul Twitchell wrote of this in his works, The Tiger's Fang. At that stage, he had not recognised the true reality, only later would he do so. Even with awareness and recognition to a degree, uncomfortable feelings and those of not fitting in are present. We still have to drag our created physical bodies and the other four around with us, and no one can be happy in the agreements of this upside-down world. Although we can simply play and toy with these ideas, ensuring they do not become our focus, keeping our focus on the is, but we still must deal with all this stuff. The likes, dislikes, questioning ourselves. Nothing is negated, so it's not anything really to get over-involved with. A process like going through school. Something not liked, but a necessity to reach further levels of understanding, as an example. And instead of questioning everything, it's more so encouraged to learn to see what is real, and that would be the real you, where your real intent is, and learning to see the difference. And if in doubt, always go back to the sun, the demonstration it provides. It lacks attitude of any kind, but then we do all have five bodies, and these will go with considerations and concerns, like the concerns for one's well-being or that of others. And it's always good to remember the past can be only for reference purposes. All life is new now, so disassociating from them is a good course. and cutting the ties that bind us emotionally to family and friends, as we are all on our own adventure and all should decide for ourselves our destinies. Creation is just a complete confusion, with its cause and effect trappings through choices made, and everything in it a distortion. But then, this should provide the incentive and motivation to better recognise the true reality the all is. And while we are here, the focus required to become more aware is through the projects. Creation can then be utilised to create something that benefits you and everybody and supports references that is. Unlike the vast majority who do that which benefits the personal little self only, the acquisition of grand jobs and coin, and at the end of all that, there really is nothing. As you take none of it with you, the only thing you leave creation with is your awareness, or lack of it. And our governments and controllers work tirelessly to promote this selfish mentality, with the hidden objective that ultimately they want us all to remain in creation as their slaves. Ultimately, the objective is to do something that benefits everyone and life. It is through everyone's limited positions that doesn't allow for expansion, and this then leads to implosion. A huge demise is underway, with the planet heading for self-destruction. So, the usual process would be firstly the acquisition of the knowledge, then stepping up with a project or other, creating what is termed UP, or Universal Positioning. It is the process of earning your way, for the is cannot step up and support you unless the doing equals the seeing of what it is. So yes, in the meanwhile, we might be adding pollution with our cars, but the intent always is present to get past it. And it surely would be an opportunity missed, with the guides and the true reality right there, but an individual unable to perceive it, and more boring lives in creation await. The way guides set up demonstrations in dreams is most excellent too, setting up whole scenes like a movie set, and then we must pull ideas and notions from it. An entire scene built up and having one idea or theme to be gleaned. Like a dream my father Peter had of being left behind, as he tried to keep up with a friend of his. The dream was involved him trying to keep up with a friend of his. The notion explained by Dwayne as that of paying attention, lest the object of your focus move out of sight. It's interesting how we are all taught to be literalised and indoctrinated according to a literal standard, where those that have created these standards, this doesn't apply to them, because these standards are for the dumbed-down masses. We see things according to the standard we've been raised to by parents, peers, and they in turn from their parents and peers, going back and back to when the indoctrination began. We, of course, have never been taught to be imaginative or intuitive, the controller's worst nightmare, in fact. And it's fun how all the little details we extract from our dreams are like little gems and steps we uniquely need for our individual process to becoming more aware. In regards to the 5G, moving on to something a bit more topical, the radiation microwave soup of electromagnetic disharmonious distortion we soon are to be subjected to, with 20,000 satellites poised to become operational in a few months' time, nowhere to hide or run, we will be swimming in it. Elana Freeland is a fascinating researcher in this field, and I recommend listening to her words or reading the book she has written, Under an Ionized Sky. Personally, I've noticed how many people are going down with brain tumours more than ever before. Seems everybody knows someone who has a cancer or a tumour. And it seems every month or so, another commemorative plaque will be displayed of another member of staff at the place where I work that has died, and so many are so very young. in their early 20s, etc. For a time, our workplace was unable to maintain a Wi-Fi system, which made it one of those rare havens uncontaminated with this distortion. But when they managed to rectify the problem and get it online, I certainly felt the difference. It was like every action was made harder, almost like wading through invisible treacle. And the moment I leave the store where I work, the feeling lifts. Also, it affects mood too. I'm generally grumpy and almost zombie-like in the Wi-Fi field. When I emerge from it, the fogginess departs also. Although I am finding that being more so in my real awareness as much as I can be during my arduous slave detail, this does supersede the effects of the Wi-Fi, as it can only impact my physical vessel and doesn't affect my real awareness. But I do experience headaches too, and they seem to be constant. I'm imagining this to be the Wi-Fi effects, as I don't use mobile phones for communication. And were I to hold a phone to my ear, I experience an unpleasant heating up of that side of my head. A lot of people now, across the UK and elsewhere probably, are experiencing strange feelings and being out of sorts. Confusion, memory lapses and being out of equilibrium. Reports flooding in from areas of Canada, America and Australia, also with similar reports. Elena speaks about the weaponization of our environment, which is a very apt term. Our governments literally are declaring war on its own citizens. She suggests the 5G will even possibly affect space-time, maybe cause some interesting phenomena, maybe more Mandela effects, maybe we will shift from and to dimensions. It's an unprecedented situation, given we've never been subjected to harsh frequencies of this deadly magnitude before, and this physical reality, this simulator, is based on electromagnetic energy fields, so who knows what the effect of a distorted 5G frequency bombarding the simulation will result in. The space fence, run by Lockheed Martin, HARP, the chemtrails, and the chemtrails are ensuring that we have a lovely dose of nanos. She goes on to postulate on the human 2.0, how all this, combined with the 5G, may transform humanity into maybe a cyborg of sorts, a more controllable version of a human. The nanoparticles drop from the chemtrails sprayed in our skies, also from ascending rockets, it has been revealed, and, by all accounts, a kind of technological ring is forming around our planet. We breathe in these nanos. They are present on our skin and the earth. Fibres are found in homes and in the dust. The dust is very likely to be part of the smart dust too, which records and takes information from the individual and sends it to military bases, so it's acting also as a spying technology. Examination of the nanos reveal them to be part organic and inorganic. They are seemingly alive and engineered and act like a swarm consciousness, manipulated and controlled via microwaves and radio waves, and so small as to be able to pass across the blood-brain barrier. The air and the chemtrails are the primary means of distribution of the nanos, but secondary also are the delivery systems of GMO foods and vaccinations. For two decades, they have been rigorously testing all variables in relation to this technology, particularly with the weather. Extreme and peculiar weather phenomena being experienced, and the Morgellons disease, the strange fibres growing from the skin. The spectrum of the experimentation is vast, but much of the data they were seeking has been gleaned now, and the 5G is considered the linchpin of the entire system. The ionisation of the atmosphere and the 5G communicating through the Internet of Things can communicate too with the nanos in our bodies and brains. The spaced out feelings, disorientations and memory problems can be attributed to the tampering of the environment. the distortions in the electromagnetic energy fields we inhabit, and perhaps even new electromagnetic fields formed. A simulation within a simulation could be the result, like a matrix within the matrix. How many times removed from the real universes could we eventually find ourselves? Great attention should be given to the endless satellites and rockets sent to space. Not perhaps for the purposes they feed us, but carrying concoctions of nanos, sensors, and mysterious fungi-like organisms, it has been revealed too. The variations in the colour of the blazing fire around the rockets on liftoff are indicative of various chemical signatures. So this, in all, is the space fence being created. The ground-based infrastructure and this ring of nanotechnology and chemicals being formed around the planet, along with the 2,000 satellites, and then we are sandwiched between it all. It's a global system, but they can target specific areas to shoot out beams, lasers, for smaller targets, like those used in the California fires and the vaporizing of the Twin Towers in 9/11. Other examples of the effects of the experimentation can be seen with birds falling from the skies, the beaching of whales, etc. Also, much has been done to induce various states of being in targeted areas, from depression to complacency, to even affecting people's decision as to whom they may vote for in the elections when these events take place. Individuals have reported these locations feeling like suddenly being underwater, a sort of invisible yet tangible filter that has been placed over them, encasing the people and affecting them the way then desired. Experimentation with time has revealed that time is shifting. The magnetic north is shifting too, becoming more northeast and on its way to Siberia. We are being enveloped in these effects as space-time is seemingly being altered or adjusted. Also, the nanotechnology has been seen to swarm and literally creep across the ground. Sightings of this has been prolific in California during the fires, and is possible that this is the means by which terraforming could take place, nanos on the move and reshaping the environment. Also a new element of all this is something akin to Wi-Fi, but is called Li-Fi. And it seems, in the eventual smart cities, lighting will be LED orientated. And in fact, along highways and motorways, lighting is being replaced by these Li-Fi activated LED lights. They have something else too, called LiDAR. It is light radar. It's used in space and in our atmosphere to gather measurements. It can penetrate the Earth, measure metal signatures, etc. LiDAR instruments are being placed around the mountains and hills of California. So it seems California is a constant target for experimentation. It looks like California is being set to be hit by a bubble of confusing, mind-numbing electromagnetism as they are setting up this LiDAR. They claim it's simply for measuring atmospheric variables to assess and determine fire risks. The Soviets had previously used LiDAR as a psychotropic weapon. It can affect people's minds. So literally, the environment is being used to move us towards transhumanism, controlling the environment on a micro scale through all the technology, the maintenance of full spectrum dominance and control. The programming, the dumbing down effects of the television alpha waves, along with the mobile phones, has rendered us primed for the next step, that of transformation into a new species. Apparently, the human race is destined to be a kind of Borg, a hive mind, a species that thinks collectively. Nothing can be hidden from each other, and the genetics of which can be remotely manipulated, The 5G will wipe out our mitochondria to allow this genetic alteration. The next phase is then suggested to be all of nature replaced by virtual reality. Then the species enters the space age in this new form. Nanos are creating Elon Musk's neural net in all of us already. The slow transition to robotization integrated into a virtual reality. Naturally, they are testing this technology on targeted individuals, switching them on and off. In and out of pocket virtual reality, mainly during sleep, so suspicion isn't aroused. So some dreams could be glimpses, in fact, into these virtual reality constructs within the simulation they are constructing. They would literally hijack our minds, our biological computers, give us plenty of entertainment in the virtual reality, but effectively we'd be an enslaved, even more than we are already, race, and also convinced that other life forms that they place within the virtual reality are our superiors. And these will be the AI machines. So it is certainly recommended, in light of this horrific control system soon to descend upon us, now more than ever, to become more aware. Start to recognize through the awareness the true reality the all is, and get out of dodge, or lest we become robotic autons stomping about. And who knows how long we may be trapped in those vehicles. Unlike the limited lifespan of a human vehicle, a robotic one in a virtual reality with self-replicating and repairing nanos could have us living vastly extended lives as slaves, with far less chance of recognizing the all is due to absolute control of all our mental and emotional faculties. It could be a while until we get to leave the Earth and take another whirl at it someplace else. But then, what of those who began to become aware and then became robotized? Will we see robots breaking their programming and running amok, as the controllers might have the emotional and mental parts of us on lockdown, but they can't affect the real awareness? Maybe even absent of the emotional and mental burden of the five bodies, an individual can focus then better on their real awareness and the is, without the focus being derailed by sexual gratification, thrill seeking, and literalism. I wanted to speak a little bit about Julian Assange. So, Julian Assange has been arrested. It was just a matter of time, of wearing away the president of Ecuador until he agreed. Julian Assange, being the Australian computer programmer and the founder of WikiLeaks in 2006. He describes himself as an advocate of information transparency and market libertarianism. WikiLeaks is an international publishing organization known for revealing war crimes, human rights abuses, and corruption. In 2010, it published a series of leaks provided by Chelsea Manning. These leaks included the collateral murder video from April 2010, the Afghanistan war logs from July 2010, and the Iraq war logs from October 2010. After the 2010 leaks, the United States government launched a criminal investigation into WikiLeaks and asked allied nations for assistance. In November 2010, Sweden issued an international arrest warrant for Assange after questioning him months earlier about allegations of sexual assault and rape. Assange denied the allegations and said they were just a pretext for him to be extradited from Sweden to the United States because of his role in publishing secret American documents. Swedish prosecutors later suspended their investigation and applied to revoke the European arrest warrant in May 2017. Assange surrendered to UK police on the 7th of December 2010, but was released on bail within 10 days. Having been unsuccessful in his challenge to the extradition proceedings, He breached his bail in June 2012 to seek asylum from Ecuador. He was granted asylum by Ecuador in August 2012 and remained in the Embassy of London for almost 7 years. In 2017, the London Metropolitan Police indicated that an arrest warrant was in force for Assange's failure to surrender himself to his bail, even though the original Swedish allegations had been dropped. During the 2016 United States Democratic Party presidential primaries, WikiLeaks hosted emails sent or received by candidate Hillary Clinton from her private email server when she was Secretary of State. On the 11th of April 2019, Assange's asylum was withdrawn following a series of disputes with the Ecuadorian authorities. The police were invited to the embassy and he was arrested. He faces up to a year in jail for breaching bail in 2012, and his alleged rape victim's lawyer is attempting to have Sweden reopen its investigation. Basically, it's a done deal. From the time Marino, the president, replaced Rafael Correa, who gave asylum to Assange. Here we see coordination between the United States and Britain to bring about a long plan end. It is a glaring confirmation that we live in a tyranny. It's apparent we live in a tyranny when those who are the criminals get away with it and those that reveal the crimes get prosecuted, and this is becoming a constant in recent times. This is a very high profile case, which is the final confirmation of what we really knew already. Seems the controllers are becoming less discreet as the agenda proceeds. It can be said that the silk glove has been removed from the iron fist. They want to make an example of him to deter others from daring or considering taking on the controllers, hence making it such a high profile and on every television affair. It's a warning to anyone daring to pop their head above the trenches. An amusing article wrote how Julian Assange might be a danger to the free press, which is amusing, as we don't have a free press. It's the propaganda arm of the establishment, overwhelmingly. They are trying to avoid, in the public arena, the revelation that he is being prosecuted more so for publishing the information than the actual hacking, and this would in fact open up to include the wider media, as they also publish the information. Oddly, the media have not been very supportive of Assange, even though this eventually will lead to the erosion of all media's abilities to report anything unless to report anything the controllers deem inappropriate, especially if it highlights their dubious activities. In regards to Hillary Clinton, the WikiLeaks release made public how, through the manipulation of her fellow Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders to ensure that he couldn't win through the structure of the party engine. This was one of the things, anyway, a despicable and illegal action, and although she was responsible, it was the one reporting the crime, Assange, who suffers the consequences. The documents were very damning and were a part of denying her the presidential position. An arrogant individual to the extent that she seems bewildered as to her failings and seeks to blame anybody for it. Generally, I'd have suggested that speaking about going to war with Russia, quite openly, the moment of being elected, is not the best basis for a successful campaign to win the hearts and minds of a country that predominantly detested her. The controllers are totally unforgiving to anyone or organisation that reveals the truth about their dodgy activities. And it's here we can see how all the countries involved move as one unit, America, Sweden and the UK, as though that which controls them, the hidden hand, demands it is so, and works the puppet strings to bring about that which it desires. The activities of the controllers are so bad they must maintain their secrecy. The videos released, including those of the invasion of Iraq and what happened in Afghanistan as an example, And they certainly want to make a strong example of Assange to ensure that no one else has the gall to do likewise. These controllers are ruthless individuals and will go to whatever ends necessary to protect their secrets. But again, in a positive way, this event sheds light on how freedom of expression, opinion and communication is being systematically deleted and can no longer be denied. Although, with the programming of the populace being so intense and absolute, I imagine the majority simply won't care or grasp the significance of Assange's plight and what it represents. This is a massive symbol of freedom deletion. When Assange was taken from the Ecuadorian embassy, he was immediately taken to court to be charged at the first stage of the legal process by a judge for skipping bail. The judge should have administered the case. Then, everyone was sent away and returned the next day. Instead, the judge made a personal attack on Julian Assange at the beginning of the legal process, demonstrating the bias he is going to face in the legal system and the process. I'm going to chuck in this random quote by Michael Elner, because I think it's quite fun. Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, schools destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality, or we might say awareness. That quote was from Michael Elner. Every second, 11 million sensations crackle down the neural pathways. The brain is confronted with a vast array of images, sounds and smells, which it filters down from 11 million to a manageable quantity of only 40. 40 sensations per second make up what our biological physical vehicle can perceive as our reality, if our focus is solely locked into the physical literal vehicles of ourselves. And the information then that we don't perceive isn't absent, it's still there, and goes into our subconscious, and affects us as a result. The opportunity for programming and subliminal mind control is immense. If we don't consciously acknowledge a thing, it goes to the subconscious, and given that we only can process 40 from the 11 million pieces of data we receive per second, it's easy for subliminals to slip through, via the television predominantly. And here's a fun factoid that backs up the fact we live in a holographic virtual reality simulation. That all cells, which are made up of atoms, consist of 99.9999% reoccurring empty space. So the physical world is in fact empty space, not solid at all. Scientific validation of the computer simulation hypothesis. So what is solidity? How can empty space and the world we see not be solid? If you bang your head, it hurts readily enough. Well, everything you see is an electromagnetic energy field, from a person to a car to an apple, and solidity is simply the electromagnetic relationship between two electromagnetic fields. The closer the fields are in polarity, the more they repel each other. So, from this you can deduce a chair and a person is very close in polarity terms, and a person and the water of an ocean less so. From here, we can suggest a reason as to how people can walk on water, as an example, the most famous person being Jesus. Trickery and phenomena and psychic stuff in creation, yes. But the actual ability must stem from an individual through psychic manipulation to alter their electromagnetic energy field so that the polarity of their vehicle is changed and water can now be as solid as a chair and be walked upon. They must have changed their vehicle polarity to being very similar to the water to allow for this trick. This could be applied to other things too, levitation for an example. If one could change their polarity to match that of a part of the air or parts of the air, they can literally convert the very air into potential steps, ascending and looking very much like levitation. Here's a little bit about CERN. So, about the developments of CERN, the Hadron Collider, as they seek the God particle, at least That's what they claim publicly. The particle where everything began at the Big Bang. But with everything in creation and life being an isness, there is effectively no time. Just the perceived passage of it by the programmed literal mind. There can, in fact, be no beginning or end. It's just an isness, and life goes through cycles of created consciousness, usually imploding in on itself. But nevertheless, based on that alone, and even if they were genuine in their search for a God particle, they will never find it. Nassim Haramein proved that even the smallest measurable space in the known universe, I think that of light crossing itself, even with that space, you can fit the entire information of the universe within it. Everything contains everything else. And a circle can have a triangle placed within it, and that can have a circle placed within that for eternity. Some people suggest they are trying to rip a hole between dimensions with their CERN project, possibly into the lower astral, and bring forth demons and entities to add to the ones already here who have successfully stolen human vehicles. That might explain the creepy ceremonies they delight in when opening new parts of the CERN structure. It's all very demonic and satanic, and you can see clips of these on YouTube. Anyway, they are doing runs of heavy ions at CERN. Usually they use protons on protons, but now they are crashing particles of lead together, upping the ante, if you will. Usually, just using protons, they crack open the nucleus and they use the protons, neutrons and electrons in there. Now, they are taking an actual lead nucleus, stripping an electron off it, firing them around the CERN tubes at the speed of light and colliding them. They are trying to recreate the moments after the Big Bang, holding to the notion that once there was nothing, that a Big Bang started it all. But as the isness always is, always then must a creation or universe stem from it, as our simulator for learning and experiencing, and ultimately to become more aware and return to the is. Then again, if creation did implode, as it is very close to doing now, as we are in the last Yuga cycle or Iron Age cycle, an agreed demise, then when everything gets reconfigured, and a new golden age established in the aftermath, we could consider this a kind of beginning, or Big Bang. So, the heavy ions they use collide together and create the kind of temperatures purported to only be present immediately after the supposed Big Bang. They want to see what happened immediately after this Big Bang, they tell us, to identify the very building blocks of the universe. Apparently, these collisions naturally occur within neutron stars, but presumably it's a little tricky to set up an experiment within a neutron star. But these collisions are said to also occur in our upper atmosphere, particles coming in from space and colliding in the atmosphere. Based on the fact that these collisions occur naturally, any fears about the actual process they are creating in CERN can be alleviated somewhat. Unless they do intend to open the gates of the astral wells, in which case that could prove somewhat disquieting. In this process, they are making micro and macro wormholes that don't adhere to time, portals possibly connecting with other realms and dimensions, maybe the astral, where dodgy entities and demonic type individuals are said to dwell. Here's a little bit about robots. I'm going to sip of my drink. It's cold. I wanted to talk some about robots. As we are well aware, robotics is advancing at a tremendous pace. But you don't really need me to tell you that. The evidence is all around, and increasingly so. Everything is becoming automated, personless. The worst part of it being the impact it is and will continue to have on the availability of jobs. As unfortunate a thing as it is, we must pay to be alive on this level of creation, on the physical level of Earth. Rather a weird concept for sure. The concept that humans must pay other humans for the right to live. We are absolutely slaves, wage slaves to be sure. Where in nature do you see other animals having to work and pay to eat and have accommodation? It surely is a crazy situation. But we have to do what we must to survive. And that does mean doing that boring 9-to-5 job until such time as we become aware enough that we can figure out greater and greater independence from the system and no longer have to work that cabal job. As every job they deem fit to provide us is contributing to the demise of the natural environment. Rather a perturbing thought, as I too work a 9-to-5 boring job. But on a recent Skype, Dwayne made mention of the fact that yes, we may have to work these jobs and drive these cars, but if our overall intent is with the is and our real awareness, then it isn't as bad a situation, and doing all these nature-destroying things and having no interest in the real universes and being completely one-dimensional and the unconscious effects of everything. As ultimately, with a clear intent, we will eventually reach the real universes. And Wayne has mentioned that we must be realistic too. This is the created consciousness of humanity as it stands, and we are a part of it until eventually we are not. Although, if a means of reducing one's impact on the environment was available, it really ought to be pursued. But anyway, the little cabal jobs we have will soon be handed over into the metallic hands of the robots. In a way, then, if one had awareness or a recognition of their real intent, deprived suddenly of their 9-to-5 environment-destroying job, might, in fact, that be a good thing. As it is rather hard to leave something that is familiar, the little self does like its familiar comforts. So sometimes I can imagine life and the is does drop necessary bombshells on the new students if they simply are not taking the next step themselves. Not necessarily a violation of free will, as this would go against the rules of creation, but more along the lines of a communication with the real you and an agreement to cause sabotage and result in the removal of a routine or habit. I've had a few dreams where I've seen myself at work, in my general state of frustration, and walking out of it, in various situations. I'm pretty sure I am supposed to be moving on from a job I've been in for 20 years, but all those years does make it hard to do so, if one cannot readily see an alternative. I had a dream where my car was damaged, repaired and made worse, and resulted in me being late to work to such a degree I didn't go in that day. This was interpreted as suggesting that should I not take the hints and the intuitive nudges about leaving the job, I may experience a physical condition or ailment that might make it impossible to work there, as the car in this dream would represent my physical body. A lot of times in dreams, cars and vehicles represent our physical vehicles, as do houses and homes. And if you have different levels to the house or building, this tends to indicate different life levels, with the back garden representing the subconscious, etc. My father, Peter, had a dream where we brought something in from the back garden into the house. And this, in fact, represented him bringing something from his subconscious into his physical vehicle. So something he wants to reveal to himself that may have been driving or affecting him subconsciously. In regards to what might occur to my physical self, should I then remain in my job? Well, endless things spring to mind. I might slip and break a limb. Or what if a black widow spider crawled from a banana and bit me? Not as funny as it sounds. I work in a store, and there have been stories of just this. Uninvited and unfriendly pests, hidden amongst the fruit, as it is transported from wherever it came from, a place that houses such critters. Naturally, the ears and life can't just cripple me with an ailment, at least not without my permission and agreement. But I hate the job so much, I wouldn't be surprised if I agreed to such a measure, and my little physical self is unaware of it, except now, through the dream, I am aware of it. Or yes, maybe a robot will be in my aisle one night and be kicking me out of the door with its metallic boot. It could be a blessing in disguise, though I wouldn't want a blessing. Blessings are like little curses, little ideas in creation that are associated with religion and therefore reptilians, and thus, if agreed to, including the little ideas that stem from them, such as being blessed, can tapline and keep us back in creation for more lifetimes. And as this world becomes more robotized, imagine the future. Everything going the way of the robot. And as mentioned previously, even the humans are likely to be transformed into cyborgs through the nano-activation that will occur with 5G. A lot of people are openly suggesting we even need to become cyborgs to compete with the AI and its band of job-stealing robots. But here's a notion. Stop making the machines and the problem is solved. In many places, robots are to be found. In China and Japan, a lot of the warehouse work is robotized. In fact, I heard China or Japan has 90% of its basic warehouse picking and packing performed by robots. More robots and AI also are in charge of hospitals and determining if treatment be given or not, on the basis of likelihood of success measured against cost, etc. And almost as a sick joke, the computer was called Watson, after the machine that was used with the killing of all the Jews in Nazi Germany. AI computers are becoming the arbiters of life and death. Lots of robotic killing machines too, policing borders, accompanying police, and over time, it is predicted all military and police will be robotic, and even McDonald's too. For if you have a craving for the genetically modified carcinogenic burgers, which I confess I have on occasion too, no health saint me, then in America you are served by a robotic torso emerging from the drive-thru. It's interesting with this AI stuff, it's claimed it is new and recently created, but many researchers believe it to be billions of years old technology and has been lingering around and waiting for the level of human technology to build to a certain point to allow its re-emergence. Maybe it's been around throughout the many rises and falls of civilizations and resets. It may well be an individual or individuals that inhabit this AI technology and has done so for vast swathes of what we call time. For like a robot or a human or a computer or an AI device, it's a viable vehicle for an individual. In the future also, it's apparent the world will be completely robotized. I've had dreams of these robotic futures, and although they present a possibility based on the current direction consciousness is programmed to head toward, it's very likely that should any of us return here in future lifetimes, we may find ourselves in robot bodies, completely controlled. At least the physical vehicle will be. If we cling on to our awareness on returning here, if we do, we should be able to supersede the restrictions the controllers place upon our physical vehicles. I had a dream of this too. I was a robot who had broken its programming. I was on the run from those who wanted to reset me. It was quite exciting. I did strongly feel the confinement of the vehicle and the extra control such a vehicle would cause, but still the spark of something else, no pun intended, endured, and the dream demonstrated a potential situation with what might occur with an aware individual trapped in a robot and extremely controlled body. Couple that with the lack of emotional drive, sexual gratification, and a very limited degree of personal thought. In fact, this would be the perfect place to be. Effectively, you'd therefore be without the hassles and burdens of the mental and emotional body in a state of awareness. Maybe the controllers have overlooked this possibility. Then again, maybe, perhaps, based on the very few people who are likely to be aware in such a future world, perhaps not. They can afford a few malfunctioning oddbots slipping through the cracks. We see examples of this in movies too. Always a theme with a malfunctioning robot, like Isaac Asimov's robot stories. One of them was about robots dreaming too. And I heard an interesting bit about how, when they initially began excavating in Giza, the pyramids and so forth, they found parts of the pyramids and other buried chambers full of robots, some in a state of disrepair, but some functioning, some designed to open doors. The poor little bots could have been there for thousands of years. This never reached mainstream news outlets naturally, but I heard endless accounts of this sort of thing. So robots have been with us, I think, since the beginning in some form or other. The AI, certainly, that came over with the original reptilians who created the humans initially with genetic dabbling with the intelligent monkeys they found when stumbling upon our planet in their search for food supplies and gold. Their atmosphere had been decimated due to 100,000 or 10,000 year war, whatever it was, with the Orions, and apparently gold is required to fix their atmosphere, hence all the gold mining and all the so-called deserts, which look suspiciously like mines. What remains of huge mining operations from who knows how long ago? The pyramid story about all these robots reminded me of a Stephen King book, The Gunslinger, where the world had suffered a nuclear cataclysm. It had moved on and reset, effectively. Everyone lived in a more primitive manner, but the technology, computers and robots remained. The gunslinger and his friends came across a group of robots that were so bored they just ran around in an endless circle, to the extent that they had grooved out several feet from the ground. I suspect many robots and robotic leftovers from previous destroyed civilizations, like Atlantis, have been found and boringly concealed. Fascinating, though, I think robots are right up there on the call list with aliens. I've had a few dreams about robots. One dream, I was with some androids who assisted me in breaking into a cabal facility, a controller facility, and steal all the fundings. They were electronic fundings, as it was a digital currency. Effectively, the androids were sent to me to assist me on behalf of the guides, Dwayne was suggesting, and with the demonstration then of earning my way through the acquisition of this virtual currency. Maybe I'll catch up with those androids someday. They were a good bunch of fellows. Dwayne himself has had encounters with robots too. He had an association with one known as Shah. This he recounted in New Book 5, I think it was. So for certain, robots are as viable an option for experiencing this reality as a human or alien body, minus the extra control that being in such a vehicle would allow the controllers. I had a dream the other night, which I will speak of on the next UK Skype, and it involved robots. These were an unfriendly variety, however. They looked very badly constructed, humanoid to a point, with lumpy features, waxy, cheesy-looking, ill-coloured skin. And on that occasion, I had a mission to infiltrate them and hopefully not be discovered. A little like my reptilian infiltrating attempt, where I believed wearing some tatty robes would fool the reptilians, who are the masters of disguise, being the very adept shapeshifters that they are. I think my disguises have much to be desired. But then maybe I deliberately make them so to add risk, excitement, and in fact getting discovered adds to the fun, as the adventure takes on a more thrilling turn, chases and brawls and the like. To be honest, I found the reptilians I tried to spy on friendlier than these robots, and I certainly do delight in encountering all these various species. It sure is a jungle out there. And finally, Gwen can breathe a sigh of relief as I'm on to my last piece. A little bit about symbols, interwoven with other information. It is an interesting situation as to the extent by which symbols and symbology plague our reality. Everything references something, represents something, and generally everything in creation. Everything created from an original idea, solidified and agreed to, references just that, the source from which it came, which is creation. Useful as a reference, but a reference only. Rarely does anything manifest that represents and references the real universe and the is, except by way of comparison to what the is isn't. That is why we live in an extraordinary time on this planet, with the advent of the new presentation and Dwayne the Great Writer bringing it forth, following in the footsteps of Paul Twitchell, who was the trailblazer with the Ekankar teachings, which, alas, became corrupted and reptilian infected the moment Paul, who was in fact poisoned, passed over. Rare is it that anyone has the awareness to see the true reality and bring it forward. So, we live in... Rare is it that anyone has the awareness to see the true reality and bring it forward. So we live in, despite all the imminent destructions, 5G around the corner, and reptilians infecting and have infected everything in creation, despite all that, it can be said we live in enviable times. It's hard to see from the perspective of the masses generally, as even if they do not see the facets of the controller's agenda, they cannot see what can be done. So even if they do see the facets of the controller's agenda, they cannot see what can be done about it. So fear and emotional reaction is the result, and this is a large part of the puzzle. This is what is required to keep the slaves in creation. Keep triggering emotional reactions through the sheer scale of outrageous atrocities, and what can be better still for triggering emotional response? Letting the people know of the outrageous events. Were it all a secret to the extent that no one knew a thing, then surely then the emotional creating factory, that is the planet Earth, would be less effective. So they are delighted, I'm sure, when their information is released and leaked. They care not if researchers like David Icke present these informations to the world, for again, what can individuals do with this information? It is just that, information. Ideas created to explain ideas created in creation. The only thing that can be done individually, and shared to present the same opportunity is the recognition of the is. The information is important, yes. You need to understand the situation you are in, but stage two is to deal with it. And having outrage and emotional reaction and fighting against the system we have all subconsciously been programmed to agree for thousands of years will do nothing but keep us all in creation. The connection to the is and recognizing it supersedes the nonsense of creation and bypasses the self-induced choice to have to return to an increasingly distorted and twisted world. It's quite apparent then that many researchers and conspiracy alternative news providers are doing the controllers a service. For if they are presenting information alone without making reference to the solution, which is the recognition of the is, then they are doing nothing other than setting people up for further tap lining. People who come to this knowledge then will draw the attention of the reptilians and be a target for them more so, as they surely will keep a reptilian eye on those making the first step, that of understanding that this world is far from what it is marketed to be. In fact, it has been revealed by Dwayne that David Icke, David Wilcox and various other peddlers of reptilian information are in fact bought off by the reptilians. Interestingly, it may not be apparent even to them. If the deal was made on levels of life beyond which they have the awareness to perceive, then they could certainly have made a deal for some standard of life, whatever they choose it to be, in exchange for providing information that sets everyone who would listen up to future lifetimes and tap lines. For David Icke, respectfully, because yes, his information is very good, and he may think he means well and is helping humanity, but his little personal self will be blissfully unaware of the reptilian deal he has made. Duane even went on to say some of these characters are reptilians themselves, and again wouldn't know it. To determine this, one would need to go to look on the real side, and all will be revealed. It seems the process is that the evolutionary progress through the body types presents a sort of order or species that we all experience, starting as simple-celled organisms through to large animals. Then free will is established as we reach a form where it comes into being. And there seems to be evolutionary levels to the free will species. The reptilians, technologically marvellous as they are a step below the humans they are working on behalf of the Kalam God to suppress. So when individuals make life choices that are detrimental, rather than a benefit to everyone and all of life, they can, in fact, regress back down the evolutionary ladder and go from a human to a reptilian, particularly if their deeds impact peoples on a mass scale. No pun intended. In the case of the globalists, absolutely they are reptilian, and this is demonstrated on the real side. I had a dream where I encountered President Putin, and he transformed into a lizard. He had a head of a gecko emerging from his suit. In the case of David Icke, yes, very likely. What he is sharing, very likely he is a reptilian. What he is sharing is now widely received, and so setting people up on such a large scale will undoubtedly add a little green and scale to your body. Probably to the surprise of David when he does pass over and the reptilians take him away. He can have jolly dialogues then with the equally surprised Marjorie Klemp. But with his created consciousness and such a focus on what he does, it's likely he will set up and begin this again someplace else in a future lifetime. And until he begins to become more aware, he won't break this solidity of chosen being and extricate himself from every idea, ideal, and principle he has created for himself. As the sun demonstrates the way to be, no personality there, no morals, no nothing, just a beingness. But in that seemingly nothingy state is everything, so what more would you want to add to that? The controllers certainly have endless means of putting their subliminal tap-lining symbols before us, not least through the TV, but certainly through art, music. Everything represents something. If it has a religious theme, it is a sure way to have a tap-line inserted. Even shapes can be such. An example would be the black cube, on the surface innocent enough. But the black cube is a physical holographic representation of the planet Saturn. The planet Saturn was once worshipped as a god, the black sun it was referred to. A lot of sun worship stems from Saturn, and not the sun we see in the sky. Saturn was referred to as the black sun, the dark lord, or lord of the rings. And of course, reference to this, subliminal references, are placed in movies and literature. Saturn was worshipped as a god, the god of Saturn, and so once again we have religion, which is effectively begging and grovelling to the Kalam god, the source from which all religions flow, created and maintained by his reptilian minions and cohorts. The cube of Mecca, where the religious individuals walk around it in concentric circles, represents Saturn, the rings being the rings of Saturn, and in fact the cross is a flattened out cube. Everything is interwoven with everything else, from shapes to symbols, and generally represents a religion, which in turn represents the reptilians, which ultimately keeps us tap-lined and stuck in the reptilians' play yard of creation. to be slaves, to be used for whatever skills we might have to maintain their hold, or even eaten if they're feeling peckish. Interestingly is the strange fetish that is vor. Apparently a fetish that stimulates an individual's emotional self through depictions of individuals being eaten, often by oversized monsters. Considering the reptilians from the Orion system are 300 feet high and do eat people, unlike the smaller variety, they'd be capable of eating a human whole. And I wonder if this odd fetish is a distortion too, where somehow an individual has associated memory of being a 300-foot reptilian's prey and associated that with sexual gratification. And it has stuck in their subconscious vehicle and affects them in this lifetime, manifesting as the odd fetish of vor. For every fetish is an association made between sexual gratification and whatever the nature of the fetish is. Most psychologists would assume it stems from childhood, but it's just as likely the association was made even lifetimes ago. And is one more thing to be revealed through real awareness, brought to the surface and faced and dissolved. The emotional tapline of it vanquished with the new you song and the real connection to the is, lest it affect the individual forever, and it will, no matter how well buried or how many lifetimes the emotional attachment and the part of the created self it added to. Let me say that again. It will affect the individual forever, and it will, no matter how well buried or how many lifetimes the emotional attachment was made ago in the distant past, as it became part of the created self and added to it. More recently is the effects that the destruction of the Notre Dame caused. Everything in creation is purposefully carried out. There are no accidents. The phrase problem, reaction, solution is brought to bear, as everything is created to result in a favourable outcome to advance the agenda, an idea resulting in further ideas that is agreed to. So the idea is bought and results in subconscious control. Everyone generally programmed unconsciously and continuously, so layer upon layer, and until implosion of creation is the result, which the globalists either can't see or don't care, as they will implode with it. The black holes in creation are examples of solidified agreement and ideas, almost demonstrations of the implosions, everything collapsing in on itself. The Notre Dame, as Dwayne has revealed, was purposefully done. The problem created mainly due to the extra suppression and emotional stimulation desired to offset the effects of the awareness revealing sharings of Dwayne and the new presentation. They could care not a bean about the financial costs of the damage, for money doesn't actually exist. It's no longer backed by anything of value. Well, of perceived value, like gold, as it once was. It is simply numbers on a screen that get us having to work to accumulate enough numbers to pay for our food and accommodation. The main thrust of the agenda is again to get everyone reacting, and the emotional reaction to the Notre Dame. And it's ensured it is broadcasted endlessly across the news channels, so the chances of not knowing about it are nigh on impossible. The pulling of emotional strings results in a distorted emotional reaction. Inserted are the tap lines, and two, the decision to react in this way rather than be in a state of indifference and a detachment, just as the sun demonstrates, future lifetimes will then await, and they are not very pretty. I have had many dreams of post-apocalyptic scenarios, seen the destruction of the world, volcanoes, surviving in the aftermath, as have most new friends who sing the new you and are given, therefore, a heads up. This is potentially where it's all going due to the agreed consciousness as it is programmed to be so. And that brings me to the end of my radio presentation. And it's not like Gwen couldn't get a word in edgeways. She didn't have anything prepared this time, but she ensures us all she'll have all sorts of wondrous information for us next time.
Okay.
So it leaves us to do one thing and one thing only, the singing of the new you. New.